stripes I have been set free. Jehovah, now I'm with you. Lord Jesus, how grateful we are to be here, Lord, that word doesn't even come close, Lord, to express, Lord, what we want to express to you, Lord, to see what you are doing in our midst, to see in our own personal lives and in the lives of those around us, Lord, the believers. Oh, the English language doesn't have the words to convey, Lord, the depth of our devotion, our love to you, Father. And even that doesn't even come close to your love for us, Lord. Oh, this is a great time. Oh, such a great time to be a born-again Christian. There's another rent of time like it, Father. Help us to recognize. Help us to walk in this faith, recognizing what's going on. Lord, we're not missing out on something because of petty things that Satan brings against us to stir us up, Lord. Lord, open our eyes, even this morning, Lord, as we come now to hear your word. Open our eyes further, Lord, so we can see, Lord, clearly what you are doing here, how you are changing us. And then in simplicity, Lord, let us just believe it. Let us just accept it and walk in the peace of knowing who we are. I ask you, bless the ones who aren't here this morning, that you would just watch over them and keep them safe, Lord Jesus, and strengthen them, and come and have your way this morning in this little group we have here, Lord. Bring your healing, Lord Jesus, and touch each life. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you would turn to Joel, we're going to read a couple verses there and be seated. Joel, we're starting in chapter 2, verse 23. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day out. If you're not doing well, just go sit in the sun for a little while. You'll be feeling better. Or go to church. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You may be seated. Well, you're being seated if you would turn to Ezekiel 37. What we want to do today is we want to finish up on this thought of the restoration of the bride tree. I believe this is the last sermon I have on it, and Brother Jerry's going to be back tomorrow, so he'll probably be preaching for the next foreseeable future, hopefully. And I could just sit down for a while, and we'll all be happier for that. So I can't wait for Brother Jerry to get back and continue his ministry here. So we do want to finish it today, and what we want to look at today is the culmination. What specifically, we've talked about it, talked about restoration, all these things, but we want to look what specifically the very detailed things are supposed to be restored that's been taken away from us and are being restored. And before we get to that, there's a couple of things we want to keep in mind when we're looking at this, because we're going to look at this and say, is that all? Because it's so simple. Let's read here in Ezekiel, we're going to read about 14 verses, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the midst of a valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So what we have is a bunch of human bones laying in this valley. And he went all the way around them and he said, there's a lot of bones and they're all very dead. They used to have life, but now they're dead. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. And there was no breath, but there was no breath in them. So here they were, the bones of flesh came out. They're all these dead bodies. There, everything is fine, but there's no breath. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came upon them and to them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O ye people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. So we had all this house of Israel. And brother and sister, that's a type of us. And we are dead in sin and trespasses. We were in our graves, but the prophecy came and it brought us up and it put us into in our place and our own land, and we are heading for the rapture. So you say, well, what's all that about, Brother Phil? This is a restoration. This is exactly the type of what we're going through. Now, listen, what caused these bones to come together? What caused them to come to life, and what put the life in them? What did he say to you? He said, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest. He said, well, if you love them enough, they'll live. He didn't say that, did he? No. He said, well, if you get them together, you got to set all these bones together and then start gluing them together. And you need to go get some skin and put them and stretch it across them. And you need to do this. He said, prophesy. That's all it took. Just the prophet saying, let these bones live. Let the life come into them. And God did the work. This goes back to what we talked about last week, last Sunday. He said, get away from all your own religion and just take the word that's been prophesied and believe that word and watch you come to life. It's all it takes. But we're so busy trying to help God get this person saved and that person saved, and we want to do this. If we can just have this, if I can just talk to this person, and you need to just do this with this, and you, just stop. The word has been prophesied. It's going to happen if you will just follow the word. Ezekiel didn't go out there and start gathering this bones to that and trying to get this. And, well, if I can fellowship with this bone over here, and then I can do this with this bone. He said, no, just send the word to him. And we've had a prophet come in our age, and he has prophesied. It's called the message of the hour. And that message of the hour prophesies that this bride is coming to full restoration to go in a rapture. That's what you have to believe. And then when you see it happening, don't dismiss it because it's so simple. Let me just jump over here what I read Thursday night. In Corinthians it says, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Brother, sister, it's the simplicity that we stumble over. The whole world stumbles over what? That simple prophet without an education. We're not accepting him. They stumbled over Jesus. When he came, some man who was born an illegitimate birth, he's going to be our Messiah. They always stumble over the simplicity, and they're stumbling over it now because they look back in the 1960s and they saw this great, mighty manifestation of God through the prophet. And then they look around and say, well, what's going on now? It's too simple. Oh, if we could have Brother Branham come and preach and use his discernment and all this, and the first and second pull. If we had a person here with the second pull on display, this church would be full. Tell me that ain't true. Well, if I could come up here and discern your heart and say, and some stranger come in and say, hey, your name is Brother Smith and you're from Arkansas, and last night you sassed your wife and you need to repent. Brother and sister, people that got out, people even coming all the time. It's the second pull. That's not what's supposed to attract us. The opening of the word, what does that mean? Well, when you preach the seals, the doctrines and all, that's the spoken word. The opening of the word itself is when those doctrines take life. They come into the dry bones and they start living. That's what attracts the bride. If you're being attracted by something else, you're in a wrong place. Spiritually, think about it. It's the simplicity that we stumble over. My. Look, I tell you what, brother and sister, that is one of my biggest battles. Daily. I look what's going on and Satan is right there. Look, there's nothing going on around here. And then God showed me a simple little thing. He said, well, what about that? But it's so simple. That's just me quitting having a bad attitude. That's just me dying to myself a little over here. That's what it is, folks. When we look here in a second, what it is to be restored, that's exactly what it is. It's too simple. Now, I'm going to read this, what Brother Branham talked about, but right before I do, I have one more scripture, and it is Psalms. We're talking about restoration of a bride tree. He says this in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, where do you meditate, folks? Where do you get your joy? Where do you get your peace? What do you spend most of your thoughts and your time doing? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Think about it. That is what we are. We are trees planted by the rivers of water. Our roots are down there deep in good soil. We bring forth leaves. We bring forth fruit in its season. We are this restored tree. Now, what does this look like? Let's talk about these worms. Brother Bram says this. Before we get there, I got something else. He said, there's got to come in this last day a restoration of the church, that bride tree that was eaten down back yonder by canker worms and palm worms, all kinds of insects. They eat all the brotherly love and fruits away from it. There's got to come a church again where those barriers will be broke and the Holy Ghost will have the right of way among the people. So right away, we're seeing a prophecy. This is prophecy. What did he say? Prophesy, son of man. Can these bones live again? He said, in the last day, there will be a church where brotherly love is restored and the barriers will be broke down. That is thus saith the Lord according to your prophet. So, brother and sister, if we're not seeing that, we have a problem among us. Brotherly love and the fruits will be restored and the barriers. What barriers? Well, I don't want to hang out with Brother Wayne because Brother Wayne and I don't see eye to eye, so we're just not going to have fellowship. That's the barriers. That's the denominational spirit. He said, when you do, you will see the same signs and wonders that happened back in there in them days, looking for the super sign. What is a super sign? A group of people who can get along with each other. Oh, Brother Phil, it's got to be a lot more than that. That's really simple. Exactly. And yet, how can we do it? How can we struggle with this? Brother David says something real good. If we have big church, you have big problems. You little church, you have big problems. You still got the big problems. You just have less of them. Tell me that we don't have more problems in this church in the last 15 years than any other church that you know of. I'm not bragging. I'm saying God has put us through it. Why? Because he's breaking down the barriers. He's restoring brotherly love. He's doing whatever it takes to get us to that point. And sometimes it hurts. He said, the things that you see done, I can prove by the scriptures. If you take the tapes, you know it over and over again from Genesis to Revelation. It points exactly to this bride tree, this hour, this same Spirit to return back again, the fruit of this Holy Spirit be manifested to restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers again. What is it? It takes the fruit of the Spirit manifest to get our faith so we start believing. It's going to be very important later on at the end of this service. When we see the very works of God, when we see Christ among us, it brings our faith to a place where we really start believing, this is me. This is what's happening. But when you don't see that on display, brother and sister, we have doubts, we have wonders, we have fears, we have unbelief. Because we don't see it. He said it's just exactly the same thing all the way through the Bible, predicted to be here, and here we are. Immediately after the baptism falls, things like that, there's supposed to be a restoration at the last day. And people, please listen to this, people don't put it off and look way out here in the future. He preached this in 63. What's this, 54 something years later, something like that? I don't know. 50-ish years? I don't know. Back then he said, don't put it in the future. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. You better not be putting the future because this is right now. It usually goes right over the top of your head and you miss it. Why? Because it's too simple. Corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ, because our mind is so corrupted by Satan preaching and teaching all this junk. And he takes the message and he makes it so complicated and so deep, so he says. It goes right over the top of our heads when Christ is actually doing the work among us. Because it doesn't make sense to our intellectual mind. He said, be ready. If it's scripture, take a hold of it. If it's not scripture, leave it alone. But he said, but so help me is scripture. See, that's what he did in other days. If he's the same today, he will do the same. Brother and sister, he takes the scripture and he manifests it among us today, and it goes over the top of our heads because we're looking for something else. When you say restoration of the bride tree, I look back at the book of Acts and say, all the mighty signs and wonders. I said, well, where are the mighty signs and wonders? And I want to tell you, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Do you not see mighty signs and wonders happen in your life? Well, yeah, I do see that, but what do you mean, but? This is going to make more sense by the time I get to the end today, Lord willing. Because why don't we see more of these fruits? Why do we not see them? We're going to find out if the restoration is on, how come they're not here more than they are? Now, anyone doubt that Brother Branham said we're in a time of restoration? If it is, I don't want to tell you because he just said it as plain as could be. This is the day of restoration. This is the time when that bride tree is restored back, where she's by the rivers of water, where she's bringing forth her leaves, where she's bringing forth her fruit. Now let's see what happened to get rid of this to begin with. Talking about the four worms. He said the first worm, he got to eating the fruit of the tree. Let's picture a big tree of God's tree. It's bearing 9 spiritual gifts. They're healing the sick, they're speaking in tongues, casting out devils, doing great works, preaching the unadulterated word of God. No denomination tied them down, they're free, doing a great work. And that's what we say, well, that's what we want to see, Brother Phil. Exactly. That's the fruit. So in comes this little old devil, setting up there with 2 horns sitting out in front like a grasshopper, you know, his little old greedy teeth. I think that's funny, his little old greedy teeth. That's his first, the palmer worm. He come to eat off brotherly love. Boy, brother and sister, there he starts. He starts by taking away brotherly love where we can't even get along with each other. He wants to get rid of that because what does he know? He knows if he can get rid of brotherly love in the church, he's going to grieve the Holy Spirit away. And the preacher comes to preach and he can't hardly preach because there's so many spirits and attitudes and everything else in the church that you can't hardly break through. And so the church just sits there staring. He said, you know, so-and-so did so-and-so over at so-and-so's church. I wouldn't believe that bunch of people. There he is, the first thing. What does he do? We start looking around at this brother. Can you believe what Brother Todd's doing? Oh, my goodness. I saw him the other day, and he called himself a Christian. And Sister Cindy, My, my, I heard she said so-and-so to Sister Sue, and I heard that Sister Sue got so mad. What is that? It's breaking up brotherly love. It's destroying it. And pretty soon we got this, and we heard this about this, so I'm kind of wary about that person, and that person did this, so I'm worried about that, and we sure ain't going to go fellowship with any other church because they all got wrong spirits in their churches. It's denominationalism, brother. It's getting in there, and instead of brotherly love where we can all get along, we got this sect over here and that clique over there, and these people won't talk to those people, and even within families and within churches and everything else, we're all just split apart. The Holy Spirit saying, I call for unity in my church. Just let me jump to something real quick. I just pulled this up yesterday. I'll read something to you. Out of Proverbs. These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What are seven things God hates? A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. He that soweth discord among brethren. That stuck out to me. I say, brother, you just nailed message believers of this day. Sowing discord among brethren. Something to think about. Brother Branham keeps going. He said next he wanted to eat on the fruit of faith. So he got brotherly love eaten away. And then he wants to eat on the fruit of faith, faith in the word. Now, look, now, how do you know that is the word? It's been translated so many times. Brother and sister, how do you know that preacher's right? He's a message preacher. He preaches that way. And that message preacher preaches different. And that one doesn't even believe in preachers. And that one believes you don't go to church. And that believes you go to church and listen to tapes. And that believes you stay home and listen to tapes. And that believes if you don't go to my church, you can't be in the rapture. And they're all translated and interpreted all these millions of different ways. You say, well, how do you know what's right? And how many people just get frustrated and walk away? Why? Because you ate away the fruit of faith. Your faith is destroyed by all this falseness around the message. He said, that little devil's still eating. That word's been translated so many times. He's this, that, or the other. Oh, he's all this. You lose confidence in the word, so you try on your own. Brother and sister, like I said last week, either God saves you or you're going to die. That's your two options. So you need to have confidence in the word and stop looking at the man, stop looking at the vessel, and look at the word that's being preached and the effect it has. Is it producing Christ or is it not? I don't care about the... Look, if the vessel is wrong, if it's a wrong vessel, God's not going to vindicate. He's not going to... He can use it. He used Jerry Bell for a long time here to keep a church going. He was a wrong vessel. And God came along with what he do. He straightened it out. It wasn't us straightening it out. Are you all listening? Another fruit he eat off. The joy of salvation. Boy, he killed message believers with that. Shh. You people make too much noise. Oh my. And yet you'll have people get up and say, you need to sit still during church and you need to be quiet and you need to be holy. You need to be all this kind of stuff. And Brother Branham preached so against that spirit. And yet it just permeates 90% of message churches. And the rest are off. The others are off on the other hand going, if we shout and rejoice, we got it. We got nothing but shouting, rejoicing. He said, how can you preach, Brother Branham? A man said, he said, I was up there hearing you the other day. I couldn't even hear you for the people crying. He said, how in the world can you preach there? He said, if they didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be preaching. It don't bother the preacher when you're rejoicing, when you're doing whatever, when you're repenting, when you're crying, whatever. It's not grieving the Holy Spirit. It might be grieving your brother and sister sitting in a pew next to you, but it ain't grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking from experience. It takes one person to get under the anointing. One of you sitting out there where the Lord just touches you, and it is so much easier to preach up here. You can see it happening sometime. All of a sudden, you can just see someone that's on their face, and they just got touched by the Holy Spirit, and they just received something from God. And all of a sudden, they might be as quiet as a church mouse back there, but all of a sudden, it just gets easier to preach. Man, it's good to have that happen. Because before that happened, it's like, somebody listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes you just got to preach through all that stuff, because I promise you, Satan is here trying to put up a barrier. It's like a cloud. He wants to keep that there so the word can't get through. So he throws all kinds of doubts and fears and frustrations and what's going on at Walmart and what are you going to have for lunch and all this other stuff to keep your mind. What is it? It's putting up a barrier so somebody can't hear the word of God. It's spirits. It's spirits at war, and when you give yourself to that, you are fighting against the Holy Spirit. You are fighting against your brother and sister who is trying to get their healing, and you are being an instrument of Satan sitting here. I don't mean you're not born again. I'm saying temporarily you're being a disruption. You're being a barrier. Keep your mind focused on what God is saying. Babies are the cutest thing, aren't they? How many times does Satan get something going like that so everyone's focus get on the baby? Don't feel bad, Sister Lydia. That's okay. But that's what he does. And pretty soon, this baby, you know, they're standing there and they're cute and everyone's paying attention to the baby. And the preacher's up here saying, folks, really? You came to church to see the baby? It ain't the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit saying, please, I'm trying to get you in a rapture. I understand babies are cute. Oh, my. That wasn't supposed to come out. He said one time, David said, he lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of it. He cried, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. This little old palm woman began to eat the fruit of joy. Look at here. You people make too much noise. I tell you, all this crying, they're saying amen, and they're shouting, that's nonsense. There's nothing to it. And why is Satan trying to stop it so much? Hey, if all you're doing is shouting and jumping because you feel out of feeling, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit moves on you and you know and he speaks to you and that stirs something inside of you, you can't help yourself, then go ahead and express whatever he wants to express to you. Let the whole world know, hey, God's doing something for me. Because you know what you'll do? You will encourage the brother beside you who's also trying to believe. Now, the person who's critical, you might discourage them, but you know what? You're just discouraging a critical spirit is all you're discouraging, so go ahead and do that. That's the fruit. That's all he's talking about, the restoration. He's taking away the fruit of brotherly kindness, of brotherly love and joy and faith. And so we sit there without those things have been eaten away. The next fruit on the tree is peace. Peace of mind, knowing that you're saved. My. He loves to take that peace away. So we're all stewed up, we're tore up. Am I saved or am I not? Am I born again or am I not? Oh my goodness. Brother, sister, you can't have peace. You have to know that you know. By what? How do you know? Because God revealing it to you, showing the difference. He said, they tell you, well, now if you recite our creed, you're saved. If you join my church, you're saved. This one says, you're not saved. If you go there, you have to join our church to be saved. You have to say Hail Mary. You have to have a name on our book. You have to do this. You have to do that. He said, oh my, that would take all the joy out. That's not God's tree. You know where you're at. That's hybrid. When you try to say, well, I have to have this proof, I have to have this experience, I have to have this belief, I have to have this, I have to have that, brother, sister, it's a hybrid. You're taking the revelation, you're mixing it with your own idea, and you have a hybrid seed that takes the peace away, because then you have to keep convincing yourself. Don't convince yourself. Let God prove it. And he will prove one way or the other. And if you find out I'm not born again, he's proving it to you so you can get born again. Don't sit there and get all discouraged and tore up. Oh, I thought I was, and now I'm not anymore. I don't know. I know I'm not. I don't know what to do anymore. Well, of course you know what to do. You press on till you get it. There's no question here. Go keep going till you know that you know. He said, you know, that's my story about the mule. He's a hybrid. He don't know who his papa, mama, either one is. He's a hybrid. Oh, a good pedigreed horse. He knows his papa and mama is through generations. A real good pedigreed Christian, too, that's got the Holy Ghost. He know it fell on the day of Pentecost. He knows where he's at. He can trust his generations plumb back, his genealogy to the first beginning of it. Peter had it all the way down through the nation and races. They've had it on down. A good pedigreed Christian knows where it comes from. You know where you're at because you had the same life they had back in the book of Acts. When it came in the day of Pentecost, you can see I had the same thing in me. I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know who my Father is. That's peace. And then when your life is falling apart around you, there's something anchored inside, but I still got eternal life. You can't take that from me. I might be like Job. I'm sitting there and you've taken everything from me, but I have eternal life inside. Try to take that away, you old slicker. Can't do it. Your church falls apart. Your life falls apart. Your health, your job, your finances. Everyone in the world can't stand you anymore. Still got eternal life. He can't take that from you. That's peace. We try to build our peace on so many other things. Well, I try to build my peace on because I have a good job and I can pay my bills and I got a good church to go through. I got all these things and all that contributes. But brother, when all that's taken away, do you still have peace? When a loved one dies, do you still have peace? You got to. This little insect started eating. He eat off all the peace of mind. What's he doing? All these things is grieving the Holy Spirit. So the fruit can't be manifest. Because if the Holy Spirit can't be here and manifest the fruit, if he's grieved away. And then we wonder, where is the fruit of the Spirit? Where are all these gifts? Where are all these things happening? And because we grieve the Holy Spirit away, he can't manifest himself. Second fella come along. That the palm worm died out, he become a locust. That's the next stage, was a locust. What does a locust do? A locust eats the, oh my goodness. A locust eats the leaves. Locust takes the leaves, the palm worm left. The locust coming, he eats what's left. What do you do? Destroy the leaves. What's the leaf for? Destroying divine fellowship. The locust, he's destroying divine fellowship, your relationship with God. Now, he said, now he's Presbyterian. We'll have nothing to do with him. He's Nazarene. He's Pentecostal. He's this, that, or the other. We won't have nothing to do with him because he don't belong to our group. Have a meeting here for healing the sick. Our church don't believe in it. See, there you go. He cut off the fellowship, took all the fellowship. What is fellowship? What does the leaves do? It makes it cool. Where the birds fly under the leaves and cool off. There's your tree again. He shall be like a tree that's planted, see? Where people can come and sit down under the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, cool off a little bit. Brother Will, there's a bottle of water in the study. Would you go grab it real quick on the desk? Thank you. They cool off a little bit. You're all frustrated. Don't know what's happening. Whether you'll die. Whether or not you're saved. Whether you don't know that the church is right or that church. And we get all frustrated. We get all tore up. And we're not sitting under the cool fellowship of the leaves. Just come under the tree that's got some leaves on it and sit down there. Let the wind from heaven go blowing like a rushing mighty wind through the leaves, you know. You begin to cool off a little bit. Thank you, sir. Thanks. Say, oh, I'm going down and tell that bunch of holy rollers what I think. How many times do you have that thought? I'm going to go and I'm going to tell that person off. I'm just going to tell what? You're all flustered. We're in the heat of our own emotions. We're in the heat of our own thoughts and our ideas and our frustrations. Say, get in the cool
of the evening. You know, God in the Garden of Eden, he'd come down in the cool of the evening and he'd speak and he'd fellowship with Adam and Eve. We are in the cool of the evening of the last day of the human race, brother and sister. The Gentile age is going out here in the evening and we have fellowship in the cool of the evening. The leaves are there. We don't have to be out there and act on our frustration and our heat of our emotions. Let me ask you this. How many times have you come to church stirred up about something? Angry. Frustrated, ready to quit, whatever it is, and you sit there, and by the time the service is over, you come to a whole different place in your mind. Why? Because the cool of the Holy Spirit came and said, just calm down. Just relax. I got this. It happens over and over, doesn't it? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come here and sit in heavenly places. You can't sit in heavenly places when you're all tore up in your mind. Trying to handle it in your own way. Trying to take care of it and hold your own thoughts. Trying to move upon your own frustrations. But when you come here and you get in fellowship with your brother and sister and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you calm, and by the time the service is over, you're back to being calm and peaceful and at rest with God. That's what it's about. But brother and sister, you don't have to come to church for that. You can have it at home. You can have it during the day. You can have it at night. You can have it when you're driving down the road. You can have it when you're in an argument with your wife. You can keep that calm, that fellowship. All it takes is die to your own emotions and let the Holy Spirit control you. Just yield yourself to him. He's got it. He'll take care of this. But Satan comes. He eats that away. Destroying fellowship, so we sit there in the heat and just smolder in our spirit. But you know what you're supposed to do. That's what the prophet said. He said that the predestinated church, the sons of God, what do? They sit in heavenly places. What is that? Coolness, comfort, feel at home. What did the locust do? He came around and eat them leaves. I said, you belong to ours or you don't belong to anybody. He took the coolness of the spirit out. He fixed himself a creed. This is the restoration, folks. This is the restoration. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and restores the bride tree. It restores the fruit. It restores the leaves so you can have fellowship with God. You get a fellowship with your brother and sister. And when you see this church breaking away and that church splitting up and this split within the church and that family broke up and that going on, recognize the leaves have not been restored. The third stage was a cankerworm. What does he do? He goes into the bark. That's the lifeline. It's destroying the cover in the tree. What is a cover? Religion? It's a covering. That's what the word religion means, a covering. He gets among the denominate, the congregation, got them all dignified. He took all the fellowship away from them in the form of locusts. Now he comes around and takes their very religion and makes dogmas out of it. Set up unorthodox word, form himself a religion, get a bunch of men together, put a creed down. He takes the very religion, strips it off God's tree, the bark that bears the sap that comes up in that way. He takes it away. He's taking away your religion. Now what does he do? He takes the message. He says, well, you got to believe it this way, and you got to do this way, and you have this kind of experience, and you have to have this kind of shouting, and you have to have this in your church, and he makes it a whole false religion, just like we talked about last Sunday. And pretty soon we got 90% of message believers think they're being born again a different way than simply believing the word. They have a false religion because preachers have taken the message and built them a false religion, a false experience, a false birth. What is the true religion? Religion is a doctrine, a covering that covers everything. That's the reason that our religion is by the blood. The blood. The life is in the blood that covers the word. That's our religion, the blood of Christ. When you have any other religion except the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, you have a false religion. All we need, brother and sister, is the blood of Christ. Always be covered by that. Stop covering yourself with your own religion, your own works, your own ideas, your own thoughts about this. Well, I think this, well, I think that. Be covered by the blood that takes care of it all. That's all we need. The blood of Christ. What did he do for me? Well, to thee I come with not one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Nothing else. Well, that your blood was shed for me and I'm a messed believer. Without your blood and I wear my hair right. Without your blood and I go to it. No, you're adding to it. All those things are important, but be covered by the blood. Let him do those things in your life. The life is in the blood. The blood is the religion. The life in the blood is what brings results. Don't use some fig leaf covering. Use the blood. He said, people are pulling splinters. You know, there's 19 different nails in the nation today that different organizations are holding. They claim it's the original nail that was in his hands. Hang on a second. We're going to be late. I'm running way later and I'm running out of time. And I'm sorry, I'm going to calm down. And just take my time. If you need to go to lunch, go to lunch. I'm tired of hurrying. There's 19 nails that churches had that they claim it was the original nail in the hand of Christ on the cross. He said, what if it was? What if it was? I wouldn't want nothing to do with it. You hear what the prophet just said? If it was one of the three nails in his hand, he said, whatever, I won't want nothing to do with it. Certainly. God never left anything for relics and tokens. What's he saying? That's not your religion. There's no value in that. Historical value, yeah. Historically, wow, that was the original nail. That doesn't save you. You could touch that all day long. You could kiss it. You could take it to bed with you. You could carry it around with you. It wouldn't save you. He sent the Holy Ghost. Something alive that cannot be destroyed. What would a nail do me any good? What would the original cross he hung on? What would it do me any good? Not a bit. The cross itself would not do you a bit of good. Not to know the nail, know the cross, but to know him is life. Brother and sister, we have so many message relics. What is it? Here a while back, the Voice of God, many years ago, they sent out a briefcase with some original wood or something from seats in the tabernacle or something, I don't know, and they had something that is a relic, what Brother Brandon had, and they could get this with all these different things about the prophet, a bunch of relics. Message believers, you've gone back to mama. You've gone back to the mother whore. You're taking relics around of the prophet. False religion in place of a birth. Oh, I got this. This was what the prophet owned, and that's the prophet. And this is where the prophet sit. And this is where the prophet ate dinner. And this is where he did this. He said, we're holding on to nails. We're holding on to relics. We're holding on places. Oh, brother. Holding on to places. People want to go to Israel. I wish I could go to Israel. I would love to go to Israel. But people go there, somehow that's going to get them closer to God. And they go down to the Jordan River and get rebaptized in the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. As if somehow God has more respect for that baptism than it did in a ditch in Arkansas. That doesn't make you any closer to God. You're Catholic. Holding on to place. Today, people walk up and down in the city of Jerusalem, all up and down in different places, holding the relic and things. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Not a thing. That thing condemned, rotten, and going on. You can go to Jeffersonville, and you can get a tour. The Voice of God will take you to 22 different places or something like that around the area where Brother Branham did this, where with this, and that's perfectly fine if you're doing it for a historical tour just to see what it was like. But if you think that makes you closer to God, you are going back to Catholicism. And yet they do. Here a while back, there's a restaurant they tore down in Jeffersonville. Brother Branham used to sit at this one booth in there all the time. And the message booth was all tore up because they took that place down. And they said, yeah, I could sit there, but that's where the prophet sat. I want to sit where the prophet sat. You heathen. It's a false religion. That's got to be restored back to the blood of Christ or nothing. Now, instead of the new birth, Jesus said a man must be born again. They've adopted, join the church. Come and join. Just go to the Branham Tabernacle. Just go to this church. We got messy preachers saying, you got to be under my ministry. You can't make it. Bunch of liars. Instead of the word, the canker give them a creed. Look here what he's doing. He's giving a natural for a spiritual. Just love the prophet. Just go to this church. Just believe this doctrine. That's what has to be restored. The fourth one. The caterpillar. What is a caterpillar? He's a sucker. He sucks the life, the spirit. That's what he does. Gets right down in the hold of the pup, goes to sucking the caterpillar. Here he is. Who is he going to call? What are we going to call him? Denomination. Him's the guy. That's the guy's right name. He's a destroyer. He sucks the life. Every time God sends a move among his people, every time they denominate, right there they die. Right there they die. As soon as you add something to the message of the hour, you die right there. That church dies, that pastor dies, it dies. You take the dogma. You take the ideas. Why? It makes it easier to be born again. It makes it easier to be a Christian. It makes it easier to be a message believer. If you just take this and add this to it or take that away instead of waiting there in faith until you actually have the new birth. That's the life. He takes out the birth. Gives it a false birth. The caterpillar. Denominational Esau's. Esau was a carnal man. He was a good man. He didn't go out and eat and drink and steal anything. He was a religious man. But he thought, well, as long as I'm religious, as long as I believe a message, what difference does it make? I'm a message believer. I go to a message church. What difference does it make? I'm as good as anybody else. Look around the church. There's people in the church that claim to be born again, and they still got a problem with this. They still got a problem with that. I don't have those problems. I'm better than they are, and they claim to be born again. Well, I must be born again too. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're absolutely looking at the wrong thing, folks. He said, little old Jacob, he didn't care how he got it. That birthright's what he wanted. No matter how he got it, just go get it. If he had to go down to the altar, scream and cry and boo-hoo and snot to get it, go right up there in his eyes and get down to the altar and cry through till he got it. He got it. He didn't care how he got it, just so he got it. That's what it takes, brother and sister. Restore that life. Restore the life that's been sucked out of the message believers by some false creed that you're born again if you do A, B, and C. Why? Because they don't want to do what it takes to really get it. They won't humble themselves. They won't take the preaching and humble themselves and get to a place where they actually know that they know that they know that they know. They don't really want it. Brother Branham told this story. He said, I think it was a black man. He was working for a boss. And one day the boss, this black man, he was born again. He was always testifying about Christ. The boss said, I want to get some of that heartfelt religion. And he said, when do you want it? He said, now. He said, well, let's go get it. He went out and he said, here's a hayloft. It's nice. He said, my wife won't hear me and anything out there. See, that's the way people want it. You know, hand it to them on a platter. He said, we'll kneel down here. And the old brother said, you don't get it here. Well, so he went down to the stall. He said, will we get it here? Nope. He said, we'll go over to the corn crib. Nope. He said, where do we get it? He said, follow me. He pulled up his pant legs. He walked out in the pig pen as hard as he could go in the mud. He said, come out here. Here's where you get it. He said, I don't want to come out there. He said, you don't want it yet, boss. You don't want it. That's the problem. Message believers, message pastors have preached it in such a way that you can get it in the stall, you can get it in the corn crib, you can get it up in the hayloft, but they've never been out the mud, so they don't expect you to go out the mud either. What is it? You got to humble yourself. You got to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. You got to accept the preaching of the word that kills that old man. That's what it is. And when that preaching comes to kill that old man, they scatter like flies. I ain't going to put up with that kind of preaching. I don't have to listen to that. No, you don't. Stay out of the mud then. Don't be born again. You can find a preacher who will tell you that you've got it. You can find a preacher who will tell you just have this experience or that experience or do this or that and you've got it. Sure you can. You just can't get that here. Aren't you glad for that? I'm thrilled with it. Because what if Brother Jerry Browning would have been one of those preachers? I'd be sitting there the same place I was 20 years ago, trying 1 week I think I got it, the next week I'm not sure, and just up and down and in and out, and I'd be still there. I'm a message believer, but boy, life sure is hard. Oh my goodness, I'm glad I don't live like that anymore. Oh, life ain't hard anymore? Of course it's hard. Praise God it's hard. I'm getting out of here. It's hardness is getting me ready to go home. Oh, hallelujah. These trials, I have seen it by myself. My own eyes, I see this trial take me, and I go through it with the right attitude, and the next thing you know, I've overcome that, and it's time for the next one. Come on. Keep coming. My time's up, and I'm just now ready to start preaching. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. A little bit I am. Give me 15 minutes, okay, please. Let's try to focus. I know it's hard. You're tired, but I got to get to the main thing. First of all, we look at restoration, and we think, oh, it's a great thing. It's a mighty thing. The bride tree being restored, and we think of all these great things, and yet we find out, what did we look at just now? The very things he talked about, they're the simplest things. Get along with each other. Love each other. Walk in peace. Walk in faith. That's all it is. Yeah. Well, Brother Phil, it's got to be something more than that. Okay, go find a preacher who preaches something more than that. I preach what Brother Branham said it was. See how simple it is? All it's doing is making you a decent human being. Just be a decent person. That's all it is. Well, there's a lot of decent people out there. There are, but you have to be born again. And it's taking you, because what's going to happen, brother and sister? Well, I'm getting way off on it. Just being a decent person ain't enough. Let me put it that way. It's the Holy Spirit doing it through you. Because in your own self, I mean, look what we got. We can't even be decent. Remember, what God calls great, man calls foolish, and vice versa. Just this foolishness of preaching and sitting there listening to it, looking for astounding signs, looking for great miracles. There is all kinds of great miracles going on in this church and still going on. Right now it's happening. But we're looking for something great, and we let the little things come in and ruin and disturb the service and disturb our attitude. Remember in Ecclesiastes it says, the little foxes spoil the vine. And we want to see this great deliverance, and we want to see great power, and yet we can't get along with our brother and sister. It's those little things. It's those little attitudes that are spoiling it, brother and sister. That's ruining the fruit. The fruit starts coming on, and we let a worm get in there and eat it off. And man, no one wants that fruit. Zechariah 4, it's talking about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the leader of the first group of returning exiles from Babylon. His job was to restore the temple. So he was going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Restoration, right? Zechariah 4:9 says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Restoring the house of God. It's the restoration in progress. His hands shall also finish it. So what God started, he's going to finish. He's going to use Zerubbabel to do it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Do you see the house of God being finished? We are the house of God. This is it, ourselves. We are being built into the very dwelling, the temple of the Lord. Right? Is this what you see? Do you see it now? Are you looking forward to sometime in the future? And sometime we're going to see this restoration in the future, Brother Phil. You're missing it if that's all you can see. Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? What a powerful question. Who hath despised the day of small things? The little things. Getting it right. Well, I'm a blessed believer. Why more do you want? Well, brother and sister, you are a stone that's being built into the house of God. But you have a place. And we, you know, this has been preached a million times. And you right now are about this big. But the place that you have to occupy in the wall is this big. And so what do? You go to church and you get chopped down and cut off here and cut off here and sanded off smooth here. And it hurts. And we don't like it. Yet something inside us says, I want more of that. What is it? Do you despise the day of small things? Well, Brother Phil, you don't have to preach that way. You don't have to be so harsh. You don't have to do this. It's the day of small things. Just these little things. Let's get this right. Well, where are the great signs and wonders? Let's do these little things. He said, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. There the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth. What are those eyes? Brother, if you read the message, those eyes are the seven church age messengers who down through the ages kept the church going, kept the church in line, kept the work for their day. And he said, they rejoice to see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. What is it? It's that last day messenger. He's saying that the plummet, it's the perfect word. And it's measuring, says that everything's got to be according to the perfect word, the pure word. That's what it came for. And we rejoice when we see the word for this day being handled, being manifest exactly according to the plummet. That's what should make you happy. That's why we rejoice when we see the word for this day being manifest exactly how it says. And Zerubbabel would stand there on the wall and he held that plummet and it had to be perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, hey, that rock down there is too big. Sand it off a little bit. That one's in the wrong place. Tilt it a little bit. Move it a little bit. Everything has to be perfect. And Aaron said, mine, you are so picky, Zerubbabel. He said, this temple is going to be perfect. Are you willing to stand there for that? One more thought. We talked about how the worms that eat off the fruit, the leaves, the bark, and then the tree itself down to the stump. Restoration then, brother and sister, happens in reverse order. And that is where a lot of people get so discouraged. What's the first thing that has to be restored? You have to restore the trunk of the tree before you can have the fruit, right? You can't just get fruit from a trunk. You have to have the whole healthy tree. You got to have the trunk, then you have to have the bark, then you have to have the leaves, and then the fruit comes. But here's what happens. We get born again, and then Satan says, well, where's the fruit? If you were really born again, where's the fruit? Because, see, the new birth is the first thing. You got to get that life back first. The life has to come back into that thing and start growing. So you start with the birth. And when you're born again, right away, brother says, you are not manifesting the fruit that you're going to be manifesting down the road a little bit. And Satan comes and said, well, if you were really born again, you wouldn't do that, and you wouldn't do that, and you wouldn't do that. And you say, yeah, you're right. But you don't get discouraged. You say, I'm on my way to that. It's going to come. The word says it's coming because I'm going through the full restoration. I was dry bones. I was laying there, just bones rattling together. I'm a message believer. Just the bones rattling together. But prophecy has come and I am on my feet and that word has been breathed into me, the spirit of life, and I am marching forward. Well, if you were marching forward, why are you still strong with that spirit? Why do you still have that? And I know that sin you did there. That's right. I admit to it. I did all that. And it's under the blood. But I'm going forward. And if you want to know if I'm born again or I'm not saved, just stick around a while and you're going to see what happens. Don't get discouraged when you still have these issues. Don't get discouraged when you still have a problem with this or that. Just keep walking. You're being restored. Amen. It happens in reverse order. Once you get that, once you get that new birth, then you have to get the right religion, the covering, which is the blood. And you've had so many lies preached to you over the years. Especially when you're young and you still, without even knowing it, you still cling to that idea and that idea. And you're not even aware of it a lot of times till the word comes and opens your mind and says, see that thought right there? That's a lying preacher put that in there when you were 10 years old. It's true. You get back to it's nothing but the blood. That's the only covering. And then you learn to walk with God. You learn to walk in fellowship with God and stop grieving Him away over every little thing that comes. My, we could stay here for a while. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit every time you get upset, every time something stirs your mind and you take that thought and you run off down that path, and the next thing you know, you're saying things and you're doing things and you're thinking things, and it's only grieving the Holy Spirit away, and you come to church with that attitude. You're at home with that attitude. It's misery. Stop doing it. Let the leaves come. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Walk in faith. God's going to take care of it. Keep your hands off. Then, watch the fruit come. Then you're going to see brotherly love, peace, peace, faith, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. How many of you can be accused of being gentle when you're in a bad mood? Oh, I can be gentle, except when I'm tore up, I'm not. Well, that's what you need. Just because you're in a bad mood, you don't have to take it out on someone else. You don't have to get them to feel like you do. You can say, you know what? I'm in a bad mood. I had something bothering me, but I don't want my family to suffer for it, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to be nice to them anyways and just keep my own issues to myself. Brother and sister, why don't we get to that point? Some of you are. That's the restoration. That's what he's talking about. Get us to that point, brother and sister, and then we're rapture ready. But what about the great signs and wonders? And tell me that's not the greatest wonder you can have, the person restored to that. What more do you want? Oh, he's going to take care of your other stuff. He's going to set you free of this. We're going to be healed. We might raise people from the dead. I don't know. And right now, I don't care. I just want to get to that point because that gets me to the rapture. The rest of it is wonderful. And once I get a body change, I don't need that anyways. Just get me to that. You can have all your signs and wonders. I want that sign and wonder where I see the Holy Spirit has been restored, the manifestation to the fullness. And I'll be a tree planted by rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in my season. Leaf will not wither. Whatsoever you do will prosper. I got to bring up one more parable. You thought I was done when I put that away, didn't you? See, I tricked you. Jesus gave a parable. He said, with a tree and a vineyard, and it wasn't bringing forth fruit. And the master of the vineyard came to the husbandman, the farmer, the guy taking it. He said, cut that down. Why should I let this sit there in this message pew all these years and never bring forth fruit? He's just interfering with the rest of them. But the pastor said, man, I love that tree. I don't want to lose that tree. And he prayed for mercy. He stood in the gap. He said, Lord, let me have another year with this man. Let me have another year with this woman. Let's leave him here a little bit longer. And he said, what I will do is I will dig around the root, and I will dung it, put some fertilizer on, and give it a little more time. and see if it won't bring forth fruit. So what does he do? He gets down there because the roots are in the wrong place, or maybe there's too many other roots tangled, or maybe there's too many rocks in there. It's grown on rocks, or maybe the roots are going off in the wrong thing and feeding off the wrong thing. So he gets in there and he digs around. He says, oh, that root, that main root, that's going off and still feeding on things of the world. Chop! And that tree thinks it's dying. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe the preacher preached that. It hurts. Yeah, because it was feeding off the wrong thing. Instead of bringing nutrients into the tree, it was bringing the wrong thing. It was making the tree sick. And then there's all kinds of rocks in there. So he gets a little crowbar, and he gets a jackhammer, whatever, and he's boom, 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 boom. He's hitting all those rocks, and that tree thinks he's dying. And he gets in there, he pulls those rocks out. He pulls those rocks out. And what fills it up? There's an empty space, and it's very uncomfortable for that tree. He says, oh, I feel so unstable. This is just wrong. He fills up with dirt. And then rivers of water come flowing through there. And fruit starts coming out on that tree. Why? Because the tree sat there and let the husbandman do the work to bring forth fruit. But here's what's amazing. In the parable, he says, give me another year. He said, if after a year it brings forth fruit, well, then we have another fruit-bearing tree. If not, then thou shall cut it down. If you want this person out of my church, God, you remove him. I'm not going to. And God says, okay, I'll allow that. And that's why we've seen so many people gone. The only time I know a Brother Branham, Brother Jerry ever kicks him out of the tree was when put him out from under the blood. And that wasn't a permanent thing. That's until Satan gets on them and drives him back here. And it works sometimes, sometimes it don't. Some people gone, they just keep going. Other people come back. But I don't know. That's not true. I know one other person that won't repent. And Brother Jerry said, you're not welcome around here with that spirit. But he doesn't run people out. I don't run people out. If they leave, it's because the ministry digs around the root, gives them nutrients, gives them fertilizer, gives them these things, and they continue to bear the wrong fruit or no fruit at all. And then the Holy Spirit says, okay, I've given you your time. Now I'm going to remove them. What a horrible, horrible place when the Holy Spirit removes you from fellowship. But that tree that will allow themselves to be dug around, that will allow themselves to be done, allow this to happen, your tree beside a river of water, bringing forth your fruit, your leaves won't wither. What does that mean? You will stay walking in the presence of God. You'll quit grieving mode. And when you do grieve mode, before the leaves all die and fly away, you get back and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent, I'm sorry. Please come back. Forgive me. And the leaves stay green. Isn't it a good place to be? See, when a person gets so backslid that the leaves die, then they feel like, I can't even get to church. I can't get nothing out of church. Because they've grieved the Lord so much, and they're just walking out by their own. The leaves have died and gone. Life is a misery. And so they had to find comfort. So where do they go for comfort? They go for some other. Satan's got his leaves over there, his trees. Why don't you come over here under my leaves? And they go over there for comfort. It's just the wrong tree, that's all. You all good?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand. Looking forward to Brother Jerry being back. Be preaching. I only heard when he was back the last time. There was a couple weeks there. I only heard one service. Was, I think a Thursday night, and I enjoyed it so much. And I was gone the other services, so I'm just. It's gonna be good. Everyone doing all right? God bless you. Hope you have a good rest of the week and the 3-day weekend. So enjoy that extra day off of work. And God's just good to us, isn't he? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you would come and speak and encourage us. Thank you for moving among us, Lord, for having your way, for having your word. Lord, I pray that would have the effect it was meant to have, Lord, and help us to recognize who we are and what you are doing in our lives, to walk in faith, to stop grieving you, Father, so that the leaves remain, so that the fruit can be manifest. He said, by their fruit you shall know them. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Bless us now, the rest of this day, Lord. Yes, this in your name. Amen. Remember, at the beginning, I said, read a quote. He said, when you see those fruits, it gives you faith. Brother and sister, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, he said, by their fruits, you shall know them. When you see these fruits in your life, it's going to increase your faith because you see things happen in your life that you know you can't do on your own. You know it's the Holy Spirit in you doing them. And then your faith increases, and it increases. The more it increases, the more fruit you see, and the more life of Christ you see. And the next thing you know, you're walking into a body change. That's why you have to have the fruits on display. These simple things we talked about. Well, I want to speak things into existence, and I want to heal, and I want to do this. Just, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Be a decent person. Just be led by the Holy Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit live himself through you. That's all. That puts you in the rapture. What else do you want? Amen. God bless you.
Seen that that chorus over and over, what it makes me. Because Jesus didn't throw
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And in my Christ's abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And if I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. In His love forever, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And on His word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the anchored in Jehovah. shall not be moved.
Amen.
Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Jimmy to dismiss us.